The Intentional Living Podcast is brought to you by iBelieve.com and is a part of the Life Audio Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
Hi, friends, and welcome to this episode of Intentional Living. My name is Christy Woods, and I'm so thankful and glad that you have decided to join me for this journey where we talk about intentional living. Our faith, our walk with Christ, our look towards God in heaven. Today's topic is intentional prayer. Being intentional in prayer, are you? Am I? I had to ask myself this question as I went through and formed the notes that were going to create this show. But I think this will be a good one, so let's dive in, shall we? The first question is, what's prayer? If I were a stranger that came up to you on the sidewalk, somebody who wasn't familiar with the Christian walk, and I asked you, what's prayer? How would you answer? Well, I recently had a conversation with a dear friend of mine about prayer. This dear woman was a prayer warrior herself. She led our prayer team back when we lived at a different duty station at our church, and she's always had just a love and desire for prayer. There are certain people that they just do. That's their God-given focus. I really believe that. Anyway, in our conversation, she came to me and she said, Christy, when did the first prayer occur in the Bible? I had to think about that one for a minute. How would you answer that? Well, after some conversation, she and I got down to the point where basically prayer is communication. So we had to go back to what is prayer, and it's communication with God. It's a point where we are talking to God and we are listening to Him talk back to us as well. That first communication happened right at the very beginning of time in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis, in the very first chapters. It's there. So prayer is there from the very beginning. There are a lot of questions that surround prayer, aren't there? Especially when we're new Christians and we're not sure, like, how does all of this work? Maybe we're a growing Christian and we're like, we want to go deeper. So where do we go with our prayer time? How do I dive in a little bit more in prayer, if you will, if that's the right way to say it? So let's tackle a few questions today, shall we? When should we pray? That's the first question. When should we pray? When do you pray? What does the Bible say? Well, there are a lot of varied answers that people would give, right? If we look at Jesus in Mark 1:35, we see that he prayed in the morning. But if we look throughout the New Testament, especially in the Gospels, we see Jesus praying in a variety of places with a variety of people. And I have to believe it's at a variety of times. If we look at David in Psalm 5:3, he lifts up his request to God in the morning, and God hears him. Do you pray in the morning? I'll be honest, I don't every morning. Gosh, you know what? And lightning just struck, didn't it? Not really, but I'm just being honest with you. I like to pray in the morning, and I typically pray in the morning, but it doesn't happen every day. And I think we get real when we're honest about what's happening in our life, what we want to be tidied up, or where we feel God is leading us to change just a little bit or redirect. And prayer might be one of those things for you. So if he's calling you to pray in the morning, or if he's calling you to pray during your lunch hour, if he's calling you to pray before you head to bed, why not go there then? Go ahead and pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray continually. The visual that I get in my mind makes me kind of laugh, actually, because can you imagine all of us driving around with our eyes closed praying? I don't recommend it. But you know what? I do pray when I'm driving. I actually pray fairly often when I'm driving, but my eyes are open, and I would highly suggest that you do that as well. I do not recommend eyes closed while you're driving to pray. But that brings up another point, is that it's communication with God. We don't have to have our eyes closed. We don't have to have our eyes open. We just need to have our focus on Him. Psalm 18:6 is another wonderful scripture. Psalms is filled with them, isn't it? I love it. But that particular scripture calls us to pray when we're in distress. James 5:15 calls us to pray when we've sinned and we need healing. Philippians 4:6-7 chants for us to pray when we're anxious. This particular scripture is a really special one to me because as a military wife, we moved often. And I'll be honest, that moving made me rather anxious at times. And finally, on one of those moves, I said, okay, enough of this. I know what the Bible says, and I'm not okay to be anxious in the middle of this. So we have to nip this in the bud right now. So I wrote out Philippians 4:6-7 on an index card and put it on my bathroom mirror. And every time I went into the bathroom or any time I felt myself starting to get anxious when I thought about the move and all of the unknowns and all of the activities and stuff that we had to accomplish in the middle of it, I would go and I would read that scripture and I would pray it back to God. I would profess it. I'm not really sure which is the right word there, but I would speak it back to Him and I would speak it in a prayer. And I would say, Lord, I'm not going to be anxious for anything. And I know that He heard and He'll hear you too. So your prayers can be your own words. You can also grab scriptures, but we'll go into some scriptures later in the podcast. So stay tuned for that part. Let's continue on though with when we should pray. We know the time of day varies, that it's continually when in distress, to confess our sins and for healing when we're anxious. But what about when we feel we've been wronged or mistreated? Do we pray then? Well, the natural reaction is to want to lash back or to speak those words in a heated argument or, you know, to gossip about somebody, about what they did to you that hurt you. It's a temptation for all of us, I think, if we're honest, right? But we are called to pray in those times instead. Jesus is our perfect example. He's always perfection, right? The example is from Luke 6:27-28, where it's Jesus' example on the cross, where He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He took that moment that when He was being mistreated to the point of death, misunderstood, gossiped about, everything, things stolen from, beaten, you know, anything that you could think of happened to Him. But that's the moment that He chose to pray and spend time in communion with His Father, asking for forgiveness on behalf of these people who mistreated Him. Perhaps we're wise to also then take our situations to the Lord in prayer. You know, some examples, real life examples in our day-to-day where we can insert prayer to obtain more of that continual mindset. It varies. We can pray in the morning like we already discussed, like Jesus and David did, right? What about at meals? Those many of us already do. Not only meals at our house, but what about when we eat out? We go places in public. What about praying then and giving thanks and communing with God right there at that meal? How about those times on Facebook when people have need? Maybe they are hurt, they've gone through a surgery, they're facing a dire situation, or you know, there's a storm or a hurricane or tornadoes or something like that that they've experienced. And often we'll click down there and type in, I'll pray, right? Go ahead and pray. And you probably do. But there may be some of us that do that and then we forget. And it's not intentional. It just happens. We really do mean to pray, but we forget. And I'm kind of one of those people. So I make sure I pray either before I type the words or right after I type the words before I go on to anything else. That way it is covered, it is finished, and it has been prayed over so that I'm not lying, but also so that that spiritual battle, what I can do for it, my prayers for it have already been sent. At church, and that one's kind of a given, right? We have churches that have prayer times within the service, but if you're a part of a church that also has external prayer times or additional prayer times, like my particular church does that I go to now, it has a morning service, a prayer service at like 6 a.m. on Mondays, And then we have one at 6 p.m. also on Mondays. We also have a call-in system where we can call in and pray or listen to somebody that is praying as well. So prayer is very important. How about those times when God sets something on your heart about a situation or maybe about another person, or you simply find yourself thinking about somebody? Those are prime moments to pray. Pray for the person, that situation. Add yourself in too. We talked about those times when we are mistreated, but let's go back to those because, boy, it is so easy to grab a hold of offense or to be hurt or to be angry, to be bitter about situations, isn't it? God's very clear in his word, though, and he warns us about every single one of those. And we're called to pray for our enemies. And in that situation, those people are our quote-unquote enemies. They may be family members, they may be friends, they may be a spouse, somebody that's very close to us. But we have a prime opportunity to pray for them at that moment, to not allow the offense to set in, not allow the discouragement, not allow the anger. Instead, to go commune with our Father, to communicate with him, to listen what he has to say, not only praying for them, but I have found it extremely beneficial to pray for myself too. It helps to kind of put out that fire that the enemy is starting to, the embers of the enemy's work is trying to ignite. So don't forget, those are perfect opportunities too. Quick, simple prayers while you're in your car, while you're getting ready in the morning, while you're out gardening. Taking a walk. You might do a prayer walk around your neighborhood, or maybe one right around your kitchen. So those are examples of when we should pray. But who should we pray for? We talked about this just a little bit, right? We touched on it. There's family. That one's kind of a given. Most of us realize that we should be praying for our spouse. If we have children, our children as well, and our parents, siblings, other family members, extended family members as well, right? But what about ourself? Do you pray for yourself? When was the last time that you prayed for yourself? It sounds really easy and simple and a given that we're all doing that, right? But that's not the case always. Sometimes we're busy praying for everybody else and self sets along the side. So no condemnation here, but a championing so that we can come together, lift up those family members. Let's also pray for ourselves in the mix too. We're called to pray for other believers. You know, Paul was fabulous at this. Wow. He has so many books in the New Testament, right? If you just look at three of them, go to Ephesians, Colossians, or Philippians, okay? Ephesians, Colossians, or Philippians. Look at the very first chapter of each of those and see how he prays for other believers. These are great prayers we can pull out for ourselves and for other believers as well. I pray them often, actually, over my kids. Those are great books to go to. 1 Timothy 2:2 calls us to pray over those who are in authority. So who's in authority over you? You know, we think about who's in authority over us. Well, at our church, the pastors, in some sense, a spiritual sense, might be. They would be great ones to pray for. In the workplace, that could be a boss. It could be a manager. Are you praying for them? How about those elected officials in our county, our state, and in our countries? Are we lifting them up and praying for them? We are called to do this, and we're giving a great freedom to be able to pray. Nobody can stop us from praying ever, because it can happen quietly in our head or it can happen out loud. And if one doesn't work and isn't allowed, if we're in such a tight-fisted situation that that is not allowed, we can certainly pray quietly. So it's always available to us, which is fabulous, right? Fabulous. All right, so not only should we pray for family, self, and other believers, those in authority, but there are strangers. We all encounter them almost every day. We are one, whenever we go places to somebody, right? Why not pray for strangers, for their situations, for their salvation, for their walk with Jesus? And then this can kind of go hand in hand with strangers, potentially. Non-believers. So we should be absolutely praying for their salvation, because that's the whole reason why Jesus came, right? That is the key to heaven, is a faith in Jesus Christ, believing that he came to wipe away our sins. So pray for those non-believers, that they will have their hearts softened, that they will hear the word of the Lord, and that it will root well within them, that they will accept Jesus as their Savior. And then we already kind of touched on this one earlier, but also those who mistreat us or hate us or really just don't like us for some reason or another. Remember Jesus's prayer, Father, forgive them. And remember the call to pray for our enemies. All right, so we have talked about what prayer is, when we should pray, who we should pray for. Now let's touch on how we should pray, okay? You ready to go there with me? So how do you pray? So for me, I pray in a variety of ways. I pray at my church. I pray with my family at meals. I pray by myself here because my family kind of takes off and goes to work and goes to school in the morning. And I stay home and I write and work on ministry items and tools and things of that sort. And so I spend my time praying right here at the house. And often, believe it or not, I will make a loop around my kitchen island praying out loud. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. And sometimes it's just, you know, quiet prayers or different ones as I'm sitting at my desk getting ready to start a project, setting that before the Lord at the beginning of the day as I'm reading the word, or at the end or right at the beginning. But how do you pray? Think about earlier today. Did you pray? Maybe yesterday or sometime in the past? You've got it, right? You know. And we all pray a little bit differently probably too. Some people love to pray out loud. Others prefer silence. And you know what? Either way is okay. Just be in communication with God. That's all. That's all it takes. Now, I remember the first time, it wasn't the first time, I guess, but one of the first times that I went to a small group. I became a Christian in my early to mid-20s. My husband and I had just gotten together, or maybe just married. I don't remember which it was. But anyway, we were both in our early to mid-20s. We'd gone to some small group somewhere. I don't remember what it was for, but they went around the circle and each one prayed. And they said, okay, we're going to go ahead and we'll open this up with prayer and we'll just go around the circle. And I know my hands went up like 5,000 degrees and the sweat started pouring off of them. And I said, oh my gosh, I cannot do this. No way, no way, no way, I can do this. And as the prayer utterances got closer to me and it was evident that my turn was coming up next, I thought I was going to just melt right into my chair, that nothing could stop me from just evaporating at that moment. But you know what? I did survive. And I honestly don't even remember if I prayed out loud or if I said, pass, please. I think either would have been okay though. We have a great opportunity that when we're in a group with people, we have the ability to pass or we can go ahead and pray. And that's okay. There's freedom to do either one of those. You can still agree with the other people's prayers quietly in your head and be a part of things. So it's okay to pray in groups. We see Jesus doing it throughout the Gospels, right? Many times when he healed people, there were groups of people around, maybe it was two or three people, smaller groups. And then we see times where he went off by himself as well. And that's okay. I think we do just have to be careful that there's not gossip in it though. I've been in those prayer circles before where it's kind of this informal information sharing that borders on gossip. So I do think we need to be careful about that and that we keep our lips sealed when it's not supposed to be that. But the great part is that we can also pray in church. We can pray at home. Don't have to wait for Sundays. We can pray when we're on the go. The freedom and opportunity and the power of prayer goes wherever we go. Beautiful. Matthew 6, 7 through 15 talks about the length, about not babbling. And I love that word. Don't babble. Why? Well, one, I think that's great because it takes the heat off of us, that we don't have to feel like we have to say all these words, this string of words. The eloquence doesn't matter either, that we can just speak the words. But the reason why is because our Father already knows our need. I believe that it's just His desire to see our humility, to see the humbleness come out of us, that we need Him in these situations. You know, in John 15, He says that apart from Him, we can do nothing. But if we remain in Him, He will remain in us. And I really believe that that all goes together with prayer, that He wants to stay in communication with us and us in communication with Him. There's a wonderful article on iBelieve.com. It's called 20 Bible Verses That Teach Us How to Pray. If you have a chance, go over there and take a look at those. They might be helpful. If nothing else, they're a good reinforcement and a wonderful read. And again, that's called 20 Bible Verses That Teach Us How to Pray. All right, so let's move on, shall we? That was How Should We Pray, but what about the prayers in the Bible? What a rich book and tool the Bible is for us, my friends. There are many prayers that are littered throughout both the Old and the New Testament, and we can dive into those. We can use those in our own lives. We can study them. Lots of great options with those. Matthew 26:39 is one of my favorite, and it's Jesus. And it's at the moment where He knows that He's headed for the cross soon. But man, He does not want to face what's coming. But yet even more so, He wants to honor His Father. And so Jesus in this particular scripture says, you know, not my will, but Your will be done. Think about that. What a powerful prayer. And you know, I think we can just grab that and use that in our own lives too. Lord, not my will, but Yours be done. Could you imagine the amazing things that we would see happen if we uttered that prayer daily? If we uttered that prayer in those big and tough situations that we're facing, those decisions that seem a little bit elephantish, right? We're just going to take a bite of the elephant. Matthew 6:6 through 13 is another one that Jesus gave us as an example of prayer. It is one that I prayed often as a child, but I'll be honest, back then, I simply repeated words. But boy, I knew it by heart. I still know it by heart. I'll read it here in a minute, and it's the King James Version that I'm going to read. But as an adult, I want to soak in these words. I want to be like tea and water where I steep in and soak up every single word that's in here. I want to know Jesus directly, my Father, directly by what these words say. And listen to this powerful prayer, and you can take it for yourself. Again, it's Matthew 6:6 through 13. This is the King James Version. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Those words were given to you and I as an example for prayer. So grab them, run with them, sprint, take them with you. It's the baton, right? Use them. You know, another article, and this one's on Crosswalk, but another article that you might find helpful is called Five Powerful Prayers from Scripture. I found this one to be a nice article that helped me for a starting point, and you might find that as well. So again, that one is called Five Powerful Prayers from Scripture. These will be in the show notes, so if you miss them here, don't worry. We'll have them in the show notes for you, okay? All righty. So there are a couple more prayers, though, in the Bible. We're not done. Hannah, let's flip back to the Old Testament. We've spent a lot of time about prayer in the New Testament, but it's in the Old Testament as well. Hannah speaks her prayer in 1 Samuel 1. She'd been teased, felt the hurt of infertility, and she lifted her prayer to the Lord for a baby. If you have chance, or when you have chance, open up 1 Samuel 1. Read her story. Listen to her prayer. When we have those moments, like we may face infertility or we may face other issues. There may be a disease that we're battling or somebody we love is battling. We may be fighting depression or someone we love is. We may be fighting a situation where, or finding ourselves in the middle of a situation where our finances have collapsed, a job has gone by the wayside. There's some sort of a tragedy or a disaster that we're finding ourselves in the middle of. These are great moments to grab a hold of God's word and to center ourselves and to know that we can take our words in communication with God and in prayer, offer our needs to him because he hears us. Hannah is a perfect example of that. Now, I know that when we pray, we don't always get our way. It's God's will be done, right? And I don't always understand why there are unanswered prayers. I'm going to be very frank with you, and I don't know that any of us can truly answer that on this side of heaven. But when we get there, I'm certain we will know. Well, I suspect we will know. Let's put it that way, that we will know. But Hannah's was answered. And regardless, God hears. There's another scripture, or another article rather, online one that you might want to grab a hold of too. It's called 10 Verses That Teach Us How Jesus Prayed. This is a neat, neat article. Kelly Ballari is actually an acquaintance of mine, and she wrote this piece a couple of years ago. It's still good. If you have a chance, go back and look at it. See how Jesus prayed. So those are some prayers that are in the Bible. There are a lot more. You can dig into the word. You might even be able to Google, you know, prayers in the Bible and see what it says, or to do a search on it. There are also some scriptures that lend themselves to prayer. Psalm 25 is my very favorite, like all time. I'm not sure if you have sauntered through the Psalms or whether you have sprinted through them, but I highly recommend grabbing a few and using those for prayers. Some of my most intimate and powerful prayer times have come when it's just me and God in the middle of Psalms in prayer. Psalm 25, this is the World English Bible version, so it's called Webb. This one is by David. To you, Yahweh, I lift up my soul. My God, I have trusted in you. Don't let me be shamed. Don't let my enemies triumph over me. Yes, no one who waits for you will be shamed. They will be shamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways. And this has been my major prayers right here in this. That's 4, verse 4. Show me your ways, Yahweh. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. It is a wonderful psalm, the whole thing. That's just the first 5 verses. But it's a wonderful psalm to pray over yourself, over your loved ones. Take it and make it personal. That's one example. But there are lots of other psalms that you can go to. Psalm 119, even though it's a really long psalm, like it's the longest one, right? But it has some great scriptures in there, verse lines rather, in there that we can pull out and pray. They're excellent. Proverbs. Oh my goodness, Proverbs. I love Proverbs. Do you love Proverbs? I hope you do. It's a great one because there's 31 of them. You can read one a day, but you can also pray one a day. I love using these to pray over my kids. I love it for praying over my kids because there's so much wisdom in Proverbs that you can't help but soak it up, right? So Psalms, Psalm 25, Proverbs, any of those. Ephesians is another really, really good one. Remember we talked about Paul earlier and how in the books that he wrote, often at the beginning, he gives thanks. He tells those people how he's praying for them. Those make fabulous prayer tools. I've used them often. Again, over my kids, that's kind of where a lot of my prayer focus goes a lot of times is with my kids. But I pray these over my kids often. I even created, I'm praying God's word, 15 powerhouse prayers from Ephesians for my subscribers at christywoods.net that they can download for free. And it's 15 prayers that are personalized, that you take these prayers. For example, the first one, Glorious Father, you know me so well. I long to know you better. Grant me your spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's based off of Ephesians 1:17. You can just flip open Ephesians and you can grab those prayers yourself. They're right there. So there we go. We've talked about what prayer is, when we should pray, who we should pray for, how we should pray, the various prayers in the Bible, and scriptures that lend themselves to prayer. This is not all inclusive, of course, but it is a beginning. However, because this is intentional living, intentionality requires action often, right? Plans and action. So we're going to end each session with an action step, and that is no different today. We have action steps today. Today, I want you to think about, there's two options, or you can make up your own, right? Because this is not a dictatorship. Pick a time of day, and then specifically make a point to pray for that all week long. To pray during that time all day long. So maybe it's morning, maybe it's during your lunch break, maybe it's right at bedtime, or when you get home in the day, you just go into the closet or you're in, go to your bedroom and you decide to go ahead and just give it a minute in prayer, 5 minutes in prayer, 15 minutes, or 60 minutes. You set the parameters on it and then see what happens. Go give it a go for 1 week. Make sure you have a journal handy or a notebook of some sort or your phone and jot down what you think you're hearing the Lord in those moments. Jot down anything that is a particular request that you want to make sure that you offer to Him. And then go back and just review that at the end of the week. And then make a new intentional decision the next week. It doesn't have to be legalistic, and that's not where we're headed. Please, no legalism, okay? Just relationship. The other option is go ahead and grab Psalm 25. Open up your Bible and pray that over yourself. You could pray it daily, pray it once a week, pray it over others. Get familiar with it, get used to it. Dive into God's Word. Take that time to have conversation and communication with Him, because He loves you lavishly. He desires your time, your attention. After all, He is our Creator, right? Thank you for joining me for this session of intentional living. Now go on, go out there, let your light shine, and be intentional with your prayer life. And have a great day. Thanks, friends.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Intentional Living, a production of lifeaudio.com and the Salem Web Network. If you enjoyed what you heard today, we'd love for you to head over to your favorite podcast app and leave us a review. It really does help people find us. To learn more about Christy Woods or to check out any of the resources she mentioned in this episode, just head over to her website, christywoods.net, or check out our show notes. This episode was produced by me, Kelly Givens, and edited by Steven Sanders.
Have you ever attempted to read the entire Bible? Did you do it, or did you only make it part way? I'm John Stonge, and I host a podcast that will make it possible for you to make it through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. I've been hosting the Chapter a Day audio Bible podcast since 2015, and every single day of the week, I read one chapter of Scripture, then follow that up with a time of prayer. And if you're looking for daily insights and inspiration directly from God's Word, I hope you'll give the Chapter a Day audio Bible a listen. You can find it at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcasting app.